back. Today, we're joined by Mackie Swan. This episode has been a long time coming, and I'm so excited about it. She is the CEO of Woo More Play, which is a line of natural and organic sexual wellness products that I personally have tried myself and I love. So we have a lot of great topics to get into today. But before we do, I always like to have my guests introduce themselves a little bit. So can you tell everybody listening where you're from, where you live now, and a little bit more about what you do?
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. My name's Mackie. I'm from Eugene, Oregon originally, though now I live in Los Angeles, and I run a brand called Woo More Play, and we specialize in organic, better-for-you intimacy products focused on women.
I honestly don't even remember how I stumbled across your products. I think what happened is I got one at an event that I went to. I got a sample of the coconut oil lube, and then I tried it and I loved it. And then you and I connected because I reviewed the product and it did so well. I feel like we got so many people reaching out who had tried it and loved it. So one of the big things that I do want to talk about today is the pleasure gap and why sexual pleasure is so important and why it's good for you and everything like that. But I also do just love to hear the backstory of a company. So can you tell me a little bit more about the story of how Woo More Play came to be and then how you eventually joined the company?
Of course. And before I give the origin story of Woo, I just wanted to say thank you for the amazing coverage. We are an early stage brand. And so, you know, we aren't able, unfortunately, to do like paid PR efforts or work with a publicist. So when editors like you do a piece like that, that is truly earned media, it makes such a big difference for our business. And that was such a beautiful piece that you wrote. So we were super grateful. That was amazing when it came out.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, no, it makes such a difference to a company our size. And yeah, so I am in a slightly unique position, I would say, because I'm the first non-founder CEO at Woo More Play. This brand was started by three best friends. They came up with the idea back in 2016. A woman named Lauren Bostick, who's a pretty prominent social media influencer, she runs a brand called The Skinny Confidential. She had been experiencing pretty painful UTIs after intimacy. She was kind of complaining about it to her husband, Michael, their best friend, Weston. And somebody suggested to her, you know, why don't you try some organic coconut oil? Like just go to Whole Foods and get a jar of coconut oil and use that as a lubricant. Of course, we now know that coconut oil is antibacterial, antimicrobial, like has a lot of benefits that really helps promote strong vaginal health. She didn't know any of that at the time. She used it, had a good experience, posted about it on her blog, The Skinny Confidential, and it went totally viral. So I think that was kind of the light bulb moment for those three friends of, hey, there's a real white space in the market for a brand that not only is clean, organic, non-toxic, but is also really chic and aesthetic and kind of makes the woman the buyer of the intimacy product in the relationship. And so I think it's super cool. I mean, if you think back to like where this category has been over the last couple of decades, it's certainly been marketed towards men. Like I know it's not the same category, but I kind of think of the Axe body spray commercials when I think of like conventional lubes where they're super masculine, like not really approachable, not really fun for women to buy. And so they launched Woo in 2018 with the coconut love oil, which is our hero SKU still today. But in the last 6 years now, we've just really focused on how can we create products that will feel really comfortable for women and their partners if they've never purchased sex products before.
Yeah, I love that. And well, I also had no idea that there was a connection there with the Skinny Confidential and the company. Like, I guess I should have looked into this a little bit more because I really didn't realize that. So that's really cool. And honestly, just as somebody who like literally reviews products for a living, I feel like it's so cool to hear about a product that really was born out of like somebody's personal need for something. And then like seeing how well it worked for them, it like shows you that a lot of the things that you're looking for, like so many other people are looking for. And that's like a cool story, even as somebody who might be thinking about like starting their own company or something like that. If there's something that you feel should exist, then I'm sure there's going to be other people who will want it as well. But one of the things that I found when I was learning about the product and really like researching about lubricant in general and the benefits of using it is that there is such a huge difference between just one that you might buy at the drugstore and then like a really like well-made natural organic product like this. And I think that is why, at least in my experience, like so many people have such like a stigma around using lube where they think it's a bad thing if they need it, or they're like kind of embarrassed to use it, or they just haven't had a good experience with it. Like they don't like the consistency and whatever it is. And so I feel like that's like one of the biggest things that people will say that now I've talked to that have tried the product is that like, wow, it's like night and day. And like in my review that I did, I'm like, yeah, I never want to like have sex without this because it's like, it really does make it so much better. Can you talk like a little bit more about the benefits of using lube in general and like why this one specifically stands out?
100%. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head that there is still such a stigma around using lubricant. And what is so interesting to me and a little bit counterintuitive is that that stigma exists across demographics and across age groups. So, you know, it's easy to think like, oh, Gen Z and younger people, as they step into their sexuality, they're going to be more open. They're not going to be as nervous about using products. But data shows us that actually young people are just as nervous about introducing lube into a partnered experience as older generations, which is so frustrating to me, but it just means we have more work left to do. And I think it's a lot of reasons. I mean, I think that there's stigma for women who think, oh, if I need to use this product, then it means something's wrong with my body. And I think that there's stigma for men. And just to be clear, I'm speaking in the context of a heterosexual relationship right now, but of course, these issues exist in different types of relationships. There's stigma for men of thinking like, oh, if we need lube, then that means I'm underperforming or I'm not getting her turned on enough or whatever. The reality is that there's a million different reasons that anybody would need to use lubricant at any given time. Menopause, perimenopause, that causes dryness. That means that your body can't naturally lubricate. But even among younger women, if you're on antidepressants, if you're on antihistamines, take a Benadryl, like basically any medication that impacts blood flow is going to impact your body's ability to naturally lubricate. If you had a baby, like even months ago, your hormones, that changes your body's ability to do it. So I just always try to explain to people that if you're using lube, there's nothing wrong with you. Even if you're somebody who does produce a lot of natural lubrication, it's going to feel better with lube. Like I say that to all of my girlfriends. I'm like, I don't care if you feel like you get wet naturally, still use lube because it's going to be 100 times better and it's really going to enhance the experience. If I had my way, everybody would be using lube every time they had sex. Hopefully, woo, of course. But I think like step number one is just make people feel comfortable using these products. I think when we look at the product level about what's so unique about woo, so first and foremost, non-toxic, body-safe, vagina-safe formulations. We talked a moment ago about how this is a category that historically has been really focused on straight men. And I think that that is really evident when you look at specific ingredients that are used in conventional products. You might see things like propylene glycol. You might see the same ingredients that you would find in oven cleaner or brake fluid. And frankly, like I personally don't want that anywhere near my body or inside my body for that matter. So I think starting with a body safe, non-toxic formula is step number one. We do use organically derived and naturally derived products. We make sure that our products are pH balanced and they're not going to be disruptive to a woman's body. But beyond that, it's not just using safe ingredients and making sure that it's a safe and effective formula. It's also making a product that's really fun. And you've used our love oil. So you see our packaging, you see the messaging that we use on our products. And we really try to introduce just some playfulness and some levity into something that can be kind of a tricky situation. So, you know, we want to design our products so they feel more like a beauty brand. And it's like, don't be embarrassed about grabbing this gross bottle of lube from your nightstand. Like, make it fun, make it cute, make it sexy. And so we really think a lot about that when we're designing our products and designing the way that they're going to look in somebody's bedroom.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that because that really is like a huge factor that draws me to specific products. And that's one of the things I love about it is that you can just leave it on your nightstand. Mm-hmm. It's really cute packaging and it's not, like you said, something you're embarrassed to grab. So that definitely is like a huge perk. That's obviously not the main thing. You want that product to actually be good, but the branding is a huge part of it for me.
Yeah. And I only want someone to feel better if they've used our products, like partially physically feeling better. You're using lube. Sex is going to be more enjoyable for both you and your partner, but also emotionally. Like it, I don't know, it should be like a fun way to kind of treat yourself. And so, yeah, that's what we think about when we're designing our products.
Yeah. I feel like even something as simple as lube, which is, it's not like you're introducing something like crazy to your sex life, but is there like sometimes people, like we said, might feel uncomfortable being like, let's use this. Like, do you have any advice for somebody who wants to like try using it, but feels weird telling their partner they want to try something new, quote unquote?
Totally. So I think that when you kind of spin it into a positive, you always always have a higher chance of success. So instead of approaching the conversation of like, oh, I'm not enjoying our sex life, or oh, something's wrong and we need to fix it, I think kind of like you said, really focusing on the affirmation, the positive of, oh, I'm so enjoying being with you and I kind of want to try this new thing because I think it'd be fun to try together. That can be a good way to approach it. When I'm talking to women who have sex with men, I always encourage them to like bring a bottle of lube out when you are doing something that's pleasurable for him. So maybe you're mm-hmm. in the middle of a blowjob and you want to like put some of our love oil on there because it's flavored lube and it's going to make it even more enjoyable for you, but it's also going to feel good for him. Like, I don't know if most straight men are going to object to a product being introduced during like that type of experience. So I think that's an easy way to do it. I also think like when I'm talking to straight men about bringing this into conversations with their girlfriends or their wives, I'm like, it is really sexy when a guy is confident enough to be like, hey, I heard about this thing, or my friend was talking about this thing and I want to try it with you. Like if a guy is kind of positioning that as a way to make it more enjoyable and more pleasurable for her, like I think that is a huge green flag. And so I think I spend a lot of time trying to encourage men to introduce these products, because I think that that can be a really effective way to do it also.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And you can always say you heard about it on a podcast. I always love yeah. doing that for anything. Like, oh, I heard this on a podcast, or I saw this on a TV show. It's like such an easy way to introduce something new.
Totally, totally.
And I mentioned a little bit earlier, but when we talk about the pleasure gap, can you explain a little bit about what that means and maybe just like some stats around it if you have any?
Totally. So the pleasure gap is kind of a catch-all phrase for this phenomenon where women are statistically much less likely to reach orgasm during sex than men are. And straight women actually are the least sexually satisfied of any gender identity or sexual orientation. So it's really fascinating. There's one pretty major study that I think states that only 5% of straight women expect to orgasm during sex. So that's not to say they never have, but regularly can expect it during a sexual experience with a partner. So it's super. Can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. It's super fucked up. It's like, it's really fucked up. And I think, I mean, there's so many reasons that I think have led to that, but just at a high level, I think that women from a young age are really conditioned to kind of show up to a sexual experience as a passive participant. And you're always thought about like his pleasure. And when he has an orgasm, then that's the end of a sexual experience. And so there's kind of this way that I think that we have this mindset where women are almost like the prop and they're just kind of there to like help him reach his own pleasure versus thinking about her pleasure and her coming first, frankly. And so that's what the pleasure gap is. And it's extremely pervasive and it's been going on for a very long time.
Yeah. I feel like any stat that I see about it, I'm always like 50% shocked and 50% like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I'm not surprised, yeah. but it still seems shocking. Like, and that's why one of the things that we talk about a lot is like just talking about sex from the start. So if you're somebody who's like just entering into a relationship with someone and you're just starting an intimate relationship, then it's so beneficial to just like create that open communication early on. Talk about what you like, talk about the things you want to try. Like we said, like it will be, you'll even feel more comfortable saying something like, let's try this lube. If you just have that, those like open lines of communication from the start, it changes everything in your sex life.
It does. I mean, I often say, and I can't take credit for this. I think I heard this from a sex educator, but on the other side of those conversations is really great fucking sex.
Yeah.
So it's like, it might feel awkward in the moment, but if you can't have a maybe kind of brief, awkward conversation with somebody, do you really want to have sex with that person? Maybe not. And so I think it's so much better. And you can be flirty about it too. It doesn't have to be a weird interrogation. Like if you reframe that conversation in your mind as foreplay, then it's fun. Then it's flirty. Like, what are you into? What do you want to try together? What porn are you into? Like asking those questions, I think from a standpoint of flirtation rather than, oh, I have to be all awkward and uncomfortable to ask about their sex preferences, then it can be fun.
Yeah. Wait, I love the idea of reframing it as foreplay. I feel like that really changes your mindset.
It kind of is foreplay though, right? Yeah. I think if it's executed the right way, it's foreplay.
Yeah. Someone once said, and I don't remember who said this, but it was one of our guests on the podcast said something about how like foreplay starts like as soon as you finish having sex. Like it's like everything in your relationship can be seen as foreplay. So like just even those conversations can build up to your sex life just being better.
Yeah. And then like the anticipation is there and the excitement is there. And I think it's important as much as possible to like begin that conversation before you have sex with someone the first time. Ideally, that doesn't always happen. And then continue it. Like if you're in a relationship or you've been dating someone and you've been sleeping with someone, like keep that a part of your ongoing conversation that you have with that person.
Yeah, because it really, from my experience, only does get more difficult to talk about if you haven't. Mm-hmm. And that could be like mm-hmm. with anything. I feel like anything that you kind of let go under the radar and you're not really bringing up or sort of like pushing aside. First of all, you're going to build it up in your mind and then it's going to be way more uncomfortable when you do finally bring it up. But like that being said, if there's mm-hmm. if there are people listening who are in a long-term relationship and they're kind of thinking like, oh, I'm not really satisfied with my sex life, but I think my partner is, and I don't know how to bring that up. Do you have any advice for how to bring up that conversation when it hasn't been an open line of communication?
I mean, the first thing is that's super common. So I would try not to feel guilty or ashamed of it because I think a lot of people are in that situation and it's really easy to kind of fall into that cycle if you've been with somebody for a long time and you're kind of just doing the same thing over and over. So don't feel bad about it. I think if I found myself in that situation, I would just be asking myself, like, what's worse? Trying to address this and maybe having it be uncomfortable or having bad sex for the rest of my life. And I certainly wouldn't want to have bad sex for the rest of my life. So that would lead me to have the conversation. I think that if you approach it from a standpoint of kind of personal accountability, and accountability sounds like a heavy word. I don't mean for this to be heavy, but just saying to your partner, like, hey, I've kind of realized that I'm not reaching orgasm and maybe I don't know my body as well as I thought I did. And I want to kind of try new things. And you're not coming at it from a place of blame or making the other person responsible for your pleasure. Because at the end of the day, you know, hopefully people are with partners who care about them and care about their like physical enjoyment, but nobody's responsible for your orgasm but you, right? So I think if you come at it from that angle, I also think that a lot of times when people aren't super sexually satisfied in their relationship, it can be because they don't know how to feel that satisfaction themselves. So before you try to orgasm with a partner, like you sure as shit need to figure out how to make yourself orgasm, right? Like I think that a lot of women should be spending a lot more time masturbating. And when you understand your own body and understand what your body likes, it becomes so much easier to reach that point when you're with somebody else.
Yeah, I could not agree more because like you said, if you're coming to your partner and telling them that you're not completely satisfied and that you're not orgasming as much as you want to be or not at all, you're coming to them with this like to have that open line of communication. That's great. But like you said, they're not going to be the ones that are going to be able to like fully fix that for you. You have to know what you like before you're able to get it from someone else. That's one of the biggest things that I talk about when I talk about sex too, is that you have to learn what you like. And really the best way to do that is by trying it out on yourself.
Yeah.
And the lube, like you can use that too if you're just like on your own as well, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so like solo play is so much better with lube. And if you're using a vibrator, it is so much better with lube. Like always, always, always use lube, whether or not you're with a partner. It will make it much, much more enjoyable.
I totally agree. I do like to talk about just the benefits in general of having a healthy sex life and just orgasms, masturbating, all of the above. I feel like some people just kind of like chalk it up to it feels good, but do you have anything else you can share in terms of how that area of your life really is intertwined with other areas of your health and your well-being?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of physical health benefits to having satisfying sex. So it reduces stress. It can help reduce cortisol. It can help maintain a healthy blood pressure. Like there's actually a lot of really rich information about kind of the positive health outcomes of having regular sex. I think that what I feel even more strongly about is less the like, oh, here's a physical benefit of it, and more just what I think it represents for how you show up in the world. I think that power, and when I think about women and just kind of like our own personal power as we face the world every day, I think that sexuality is so intertwined with that. And I think that knowing your own body and having power over your own body and like the good feelings that come from having great sex and that come from having an orgasm, like that's us stepping into our power. And I think that that is super, super important. And I think that it's one of those things where when something is happening in your life that's really good in one area, it kind of bleeds into everything else. And I think that sex is like a huge thing for that. If you're having really good sex, it makes you feel sexy and confident and like a badass. then you're going to be a sexy, confident badass when you go to work or when you're like picking up your kids from school or like whatever you're doing. I mean, hopefully you're not too sexy if you're picking up your kids from school, but you know what I mean? I think it just like impacts everything that you do. And that's on a personal level. I mean, when it comes to relationship satisfaction, even more so, like I think that having good, satisfying sex, whatever that means to you and your partner, is absolutely critical for having a good, satisfying marriage or relationship or partnership. So it impacts everything.
Yeah. Most people listening, I'm sure, have felt that. Like they've been in sort of that phase in a relationship when that area of the relationship is going so well. And so you feel closer to your partner and you feel that positivity in so many other areas of your life. And then it's, in my opinion, really normal for that, like all other things, to sort of like ebb and flow in terms of your sex life or your sex drive or things like that. So what advice do you have for someone who might be sort of in like a lull in that area of their relationship and they're trying to either A, find other ways to build intimacy, or B, like really like spice things up again, for lack of a better term?
I think that a lot of relationships kind of have the trope of like a high libido partner and a low libido partner.
Yeah.
I think that if you're somebody who's maybe the low libido partner or is just finding yourself less interested in sex, there's a couple things I would suggest. Number one is masturbate more, like just invest more time in solo play, invest more time in solo pleasure. And then you're just going to like be more aroused as a baseline that I think is going to bleed into your relationship. And then I also think that like novelty and non-sexual ways can have good results for sex too. So like doing something new or doing something scary or maybe doing something that's a little bit of an adrenaline rush with your partner can be a good way to connect. And having a new and novel experience can then bleed into like feeling more connected, like you said. I think for somebody who's the high libido partner that feels like they're in a lull, like number one would be communication and trying to figure out what's going on with your partner and why they are less interested in sex with you. It could be a million things, could be stress, could be hormones, could be they're just too fucking busy and they don't feel like you guys have time to have sex. So like get to the root of it. But also being really mindful of not being shamey with your partner and more approaching it from a, oh my gosh, you turned me on so much, or oh my gosh, I want you so badly, and just give them a massage or like do nice things for them that maybe won't directly lead to sex, but will make them feel taken care of and nurtured and loved and hopefully more comfortable opening up sexually.
I really like that advice. What I'm actually curious, because I feel like you, obviously this is your job, but I feel like you talk so openly and well about sex and about all of these topics. Was it a topic that was open for you growing up? Like, was this something that you always had like sort of an ease about you when talking about?
It was. And I didn't realize until I was well into my 20s that that was unique. I am from the Pacific Northwest. Like I said, I'm from Oregon. So we had pretty decent sex ed in my school system growing up. I also wasn't raised in a religious household. So I didn't experience any of the kind of sexual shame that I think comes with a lot of religious upbringings. And also my parents were just pretty chill about it. Like my mom was one of those moms who was like, tell me when you start having sex so I can make sure you're on birth control. And when I started having sex, I told her and she put me on birth control. So it was just like, I think because they didn't introduce any shame to this topic, I just have never experienced it.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a PSA for any parents listening, that it could be as easy as that. Just like have an open conversation about it. And then, because I feel like I know so many people where like that was not the case. And so then you do feel like it just, you might not even realize that you feel shame around it, but it just feels like something that you're supposed to hide. Like you're not supposed to tell your parents about it and you're not supposed to talk about it. And even within friend groups, like you might not talk about it as much. That's one of the things that led me and Mia, my former co-host, to start this podcast, is we felt like we could talk about everything to each other. And we realized like, wait, that's actually a quality that's not in every friendship or in every like podcast that we listen to. Sometimes people like skirt around these certain topics. So I feel like that's also like a big part of a brand like this, that's really leading with like that fun packaging, like you said, and just like making this a fun topic, because it is like a fun subject and something that can bring you like a lot of joy in so many areas of your life.
Totally. And I think that it's a unique to have friendships like yours where you talk about it, period. But I think it's even more unique to have friendships and relationships where you can talk about it with vulnerability. Because it's you know, fun to go have brunch with your girlfriends and drink some wine and like talk about funny sex stories. But it's much more challenging, I think, for a lot of people to say like, hey, I'm having this issue in my relationship, or like, hey, I'm having this issue with sex and I don't know who to talk about it with. Like, that is extremely unique and extremely valuable. And something that I wish more people had.
Yeah, I totally agree. Are you in a relationship?
I am.
Okay. So has it kind of always been easy for you to talk about in relationships, just like in other areas of your life?
For the most part, it has been. Like, I think that I'm just kind of assertive, period. And so it's just easy for me to talk about anything, including sex. I will say that when I reflect back on like the early years of my sexuality and like as a teenager, when I first started having sex, I definitely like had sex for a while before I really understood how to make myself orgasm. And so when I think back on that in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I was not communicating clearly, because I was one of those young women who didn't really know what I wanted or what I needed. But I think that was like in my earlier years and not something that I struggle with today.
Yeah, I think you put it so well earlier that it's really common for women in heterosexual relationships to kind of become more like passive with the topic of sex and with just sex in general. And that stat you gave earlier, like, I totally believe that. Like, a lot of women probably do show up to sex like not expecting to orgasm. And then, and that doesn't mean like they don't enjoy sex or like want to have sex, but it's just such a, it kind of gets like that part of it can get swept under the rug so easily. And I do think that something as simple as like trying a new lube like this can be so helpful and can really, really change things. So that was one of the things that like really also like drew me to wanting to have you on to talk about this and to like get more people to try the product, just because it can really, really help and so beneficial and like enhancing pleasure for sure.
And it's something so simple. Like, it's such a simple change to experience what I think is like way higher quality sex.
Yeah, I completely agree. We're going to do a little bit of listener questions in a little bit, but before we do, I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about the other products. I know we've talked a lot about the lube and then just like anything exciting that's happening with the brand.
Yeah, totally. So in addition to the love oil that we talked about, we do have another lubricant that's a water-based formula called Shag Juice. Just so folks know, if they are interested in trying the coconut love oil, it is my favorite lube by far. It's the only thing I'll have sex with. However, because it's an oil-based formula, it's not condom compatible. So just PSA, if you're somebody who relies on condoms for contraception, you should always be using a water-based product that's going to be something that plays nicely with condoms. So in addition to the lubricants, we also do vibrators. We have our original vibrator that's kind of designed for external clitoral stimulation. It's really cute. It's really chic. It's a great product if you've never purchased a toy before. It is very appropriately named the I Come First Vibes. So that's a good kind of starter vibrator. And then our more recent one is called the Disco Stick. And that is kind of a more advanced design for internal G-spot stimulation. Really, really good vibrator that is also available from the brand. And then we do some fem care stuff. We've dabbled in libido and arousal products, but all we care about is making really high quality sexual wellness products that will be approachable and accessible for new users. So that's all on wombwareplay.com, but definitely recommend starting with the love oil for folks who are new to the brand. And then in addition to that, I think, Carly, when we first started chatting about scheduling, I was sharing with you that we were getting ready to launch our first community equity crowdfunding campaign. So this is something that I'm super excited about. It's the first time in the history of our company where we have invited our customers and our community to become owners of Woo More Play. So we launched on startengine.com. It's actually a platform that is backed by Kevin O'Leary. For folks who are Shark Tank fans, he's Mr. Wonderful. It's a platform that he works with to help startups raise money from their community. And we launched less than a month ago, and we are already almost at $600,000 in investment. So the support from Woo customers has been absolutely incredible. It is so humbling and so cool to see. So if anybody is interested in startup investing or just wants to be able to brag to their friends that they are an owner of a lube company, then you can check that out too. And that's startengine.com and just search for Woo More Play.
That is so cool. I love that. I'm sure we have some listeners who are going to be interested in learning more. So I'll definitely put those details in the show notes.
Cool. Yeah, it's been really, really fun. Our community has showed up in a really incredible way.
I also was having a lot of fun looking at the different products that I haven't tried yet. I had not seen the Disco Stick, and I'm so curious about that one.
Oh, we got to get you a disco stick. That is my new varsity player, if you will. it's a great vibe. It's a great vibe. So I'll for sure send you one.
I love that. Okay. Well, I didn't ask you any rapid fire questions in the beginning, so I'm going to shoot them at you right now before we get to listener questions. I just always like to get to know our guests a little bit better, like outside of what they do and everything that we talked about. So to kick it off, what is your favorite method of self-care?
Turning off my phone. No question. Oh. I'm a big believer in turning off the phone for extended periods of time.
Yeah, that is such a good one. I recently did a long drive, and so I wasn't able to check my phone for so long. And I was like, I need to just do this intentionally more often.
Yeah.
Because I felt so good.
Go for a hike, leave your phone at home or turn it off or whatever. Like, I think that's really important for us to get away from our devices.
100%. Kind of on a similar note, what are three items that you can't get through the day without?
My Kindle, for sure. Mm-hmm. Right now, because it's February, this is so embarrassing to admit, but my heated blanket, I really like, I'm a big fan of my heated blanket and probably Aquaphor.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You know, you've seen my big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah.
You know, is it the dad who's so obsessed with putting Windex on everything?
Oh my God, yes.
Like, I am him, but with Aquaphor instead of Windex. It's like my solution for literally everything.
That's so funny. What are you reading on your Kindle right now?
I actually just finished a book called Word Slut that was very fascinating and well-written about how just language is used, like weaponized against women. But I kind of go back and forth between nonfiction and fiction, and I'll go through phases where I read a lot of romance or a lot of smut, and then I'll go back to more serious nonfiction stuff.
I do the same thing, for sure. I like that balance.
Yeah.
What is one food you can't live without?
Probably spaghetti.
Good one.
Big pasta girl. Yeah.
And what's your love language?
Definitely quality time.
Is your partner's love language the same?
No, my partner's love language is acts of service, which is great for me because when somebody expresses their love with acts of service, that's like, it's a good spot to be in.
Yeah, that's true. I was just talking about how I feel like couples who have different love languages, I just think that's better because it kind of forces you like to learn to show love in other ways than what you're naturally accustomed to, which is really fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so we're going to answer a few listener questions. These are just like advice questions. So I'm going to pull a couple up on my phone. This one is kind of related to love languages. So what are some unique ways to show love with acts of service? Wow, that's a good one.
That is a good one. So I always appreciate having small errands taken care of. It's like, especially if you are super busy and you have a demanding job like I do, when there's just little things that kind of add up, like putting gas in the car or picking up the dry cleaning, or those little things that are quick tasks, but altogether can be a little overwhelming. I think those are great acts of service.
Yeah, I like those too. Like just anything that makes your life a little bit easier.
Yeah. I love that stuff.
Okay. How to be more intentional with dating apps, feeling like I'm not getting anywhere.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I'm the best person to answer this question because I, oddly enough, have never been on dating apps. I'm kind of anti, like I'm not on social. I don't do dating apps. Like I'm not super in internet culture. But when I talk to my friends, like I definitely have seen a big trend of people wasting a shit ton of time talking to somebody before they meet. So I think setting intentions around what are you comfortable with when it comes to communication versus in-person dates. And then I, like, if it were me, I'd want to be very intentional around the time I'm spending on apps. I think it can be a little bit toxic if you're just reaching for your phone every time you have 2 minutes to just swipe through profiles that are actual human beings and just thinking about like maybe being a little bit more structured with that time. I don't know.
No, I think that's really good advice. It's so funny. For some reason, I had a feeling you were going to say that you hadn't used dating apps before.
I try not to do things that like would make me feel worse, I guess. I don't know. Or just like be time wasters. And that seems like it would be one of them.
Wait, so now I need to know advice for how to meet people outside of dating apps. Do you have any tips for that?
I think that, okay, I hate to be so repetitive. I really do. But like, get off your phone. Like, I'm often approached when I'm like out at events or out in public. And when I think about what it is, I think it's because I'm like open and looking up and being friendly and smiling and not staring at my phone all the time. So like put your phone in your purse, stop looking at your phone. And then I think just like attitude adjustment. Like if you go somewhere and you're looking to meet people, like try to be a little more outgoing, try to start a conversation with someone. Like I do this with networking too. When I'm at like a professional networking event, I'm not like, oh, I need to meet connections or I need to meet contacts. I just try to think, oh, I want to make some friends. And then when you kind of approach it with that perspective, I think some really fun things can happen and you can meet some really cool people and develop some cool relationships. And so if I were trying to get picked up like in public or out in the world, I would just be thinking like, just looking for some friends and then see what happens.
Yeah. I feel like that just takes so much of the pressure off of it. And you can apply that to using dating apps too. Like you don't have to go like so hard and like digging into the person's profile and chatting for weeks before you go out. Just like think of it as a fun way to meet someone new. It might not amount to anything, but it's like, just approach it like you would meeting a new friend or a new connection.
Yeah. And people are fun and interesting. And, just if you could just like learn something new from somebody that you're meeting, that could be a fun thing to do, even if it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, I'm going to choose one more. We've been dating for 3 months and he still hasn't brought up defining the relationship. How do I approach the conversation?
I mean, my first question would be, why do you feel compelled to have the conversation right now? I mean, if I'd been seeing somebody for 3 months and they hadn't brought it up and didn't seem interested in the conversation, that seems like a valuable data point. At the same time, I've always just kind of blown up the bomb and been one to just say the thing. So if it's like causing you stress or something that's eating away at you, I would just be like, yo, what is this? Because if you're out sleeping with other people, that's totally cool. But then I'm going to go do the same thing. So I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like what we talked about earlier with talking about sex and opening up that communication early on. It's like the longer you wait to have a conversation that you've clearly been like waiting for them to start, it's not doing any favors in this relationship, especially if you're 3 months in.
Yeah, I think so. And also if that person has a bad reaction, then that's probably not your person. Like if you've been spending time with them for 3 months and they don't think you're like the best thing ever and don't want to define it in the way that you want to define it, then that's not your person, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's something to keep in mind. But I am also of the mindset and of the belief that like nothing is exclusive until it's been defined as exclusive. And so I think it's important, especially in modern dating culture and the apps and all that stuff, like don't put all your eggs in one basket, if that makes sense. Like I think if you're in the early signs of dating before you're like planning your wedding with this person, like keep going on dates with other people.
Yeah, I actually really like that perspective. I feel like that's a really good way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been so fun. I do always like to close with advice. So can you tell everybody what advice you would give to your younger self? And it can be like work related, dating related, whatever comes to mind first.
Ooh. I mean, I think advice for my younger self would be to just always bet on yourself, which is kind of what I do. But I think that's a good mindset to have as you're navigating the dating world, the professional world, whatever, is just bet on yourself and you'll be surprised at what you can do.
I love that. Thank you so much. And I'm going to link everything in the show notes in terms of where to find Woo More Play and everything that you mentioned earlier. So thank you so much for coming on. This was great.
Cool. Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun talking.